King Jesus, I thank you for life after death. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that you've opened up the door and the path for all those who want life after death, for all those who want to walk in the Spirit, for all those who want a relationship with you. You've opened up the door for that. And I thank you for your word, which is amazing, and I'm hoping that it will bless somebody here that's listening, and that you would transform whoever's listening and grow them, Lord, as you transform and you grow me, and God, that you bless the words of this message today. Access in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to talk about how to access the power of God in your life. And it sounds so gimmicky. I hate to even put it that way, because it almost sounds like I'm about to say, because for $24.99, you can find it in my book. That's not what's going to happen right now. This is totally free. It's not cheap. Salvation is totally free. It's all came by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that that there's a power of living that only God can do. Jesus says that I'm the vine, you are the branch. He that abides in me and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he says this in John 15:5, for without me you can do nothing. Now that's a promise that we forget mostly all the time. I speak to myself, we forget it all the time, that Jesus said, there is nothing you can do apart from me. That means when I get up and I go to the grocery store and I run an errand for my wife or whatever it may be, that was by the power of Jesus Christ. Anything good that I'm able to do, that was by the power of Jesus Christ. All that I'm able to do, Jesus Christ enables me to do it. And I can use that for good, I can use that for evil. I can use that liberty, that power to sin, or I can use that power to glorify him. But at the end of the day, Jesus is the one that gives you and me everything that we need. And he wants to go even deeper and beyond that, because there's a powerful living. When Jesus was going to leave his disciples in John 14, they were sad. And he said, why are you so sad? Don't you guys know I've got to leave? If I leave, you're going to be able to do things far greater than I've done here. You're going to be able to do amazing things, because I'm going to send a helper to you. So I want you to understand because what we're going to get into right now is that we have everything we do, even if you're not even saved, even if you're coming to this and someone just made you listen, let me be the first to tell you, all that you've been able to do has been through the power of Jesus Christ. He's created all things, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. So even if someone doesn't even acknowledge Jesus Christ, and they acknowledge Buddha or Muhammad, whoever it is, the truth of the matter is, when the whole sky is taken back and unveiled like a garment, like a drape, you'll see that Jesus Christ has always been the one empowering you. But it goes deeper than that, because he says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit so that you can have even more power. And that power is a type of living that surpasses this natural life. And I want to tell you how to walk in that. And here's where it goes. It's very, very simple. I've said it before. The way you access the power of God is simply to ask. That's it. That's it. You ask. Ask. If you want to walk in a Holy Spirit power, ask for it. Ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask to receive the Holy Spirit. Ask God for what you need. In Luke 11, verse 9, it says, and I say unto you, Jesus speaking, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you then being evil, verse 13, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God is willing to give you the Holy Spirit. God's willing to give you everything according to his name, and we'll get into that. He's willing to give you, if you have a need, ask him for that need. If you have any type of need that you have, you can ask him. And I'll share a verse with you in light of that in just a second. But understand, if you want Holy Spirit power, you just ask him. You know, it's easy to get confused and say, well, I hear a lot about doing things in my own strength, and I know I shouldn't do something in my own strength. But what does that mean? I mean, if I should be patient, you know, I'm trying to be patient. You say, what's the difference between being patient in my own strength
and being patient in God's strength, right? The difference is, how much are you asking God for power about that? How much are you praying about that? That's the difference. Difference is, how much do you pray about spiritual fruit in your life? How much do you pray about the things in your life? That determines whether you're doing something in your own strength that God is allowing you to. Because remember, you can't do anything apart from Jesus. Jesus is allowing you to do it, but you're not really trusting in him. But just his mercy, he's allowing you to do it. And then when we fall flat in our face, we're like, oh, and we start beating ourselves up. And it's like, you know what? It's just simply about asking God and relying on prayer and relying on waiting and asking. But not only can you ask him for the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is the most precious gift you can get on this side of heaven. It is the most precious gift a person can have at being born again and converted, is to get the Holy Spirit. Because that's what it does. The Holy Spirit signifies that you are born again and you're sealed for an eternal, beautiful, joyful, righteous life after death. But the Holy Spirit also gives you access to love, to joy, to peace, to patience, to kindness, to goodness, to faithfulness, to gentleness, to self-control. He gives you things that the world spends billions and millions and whatever amount of dollars on. You get access to that through the Holy Spirit. But God's saying, not only will I give you the Holy Spirit, anything you need. Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. And everything you need, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look what will happen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it says, don't be anxious for anything, just in everything, what? Pray, open up your mouth, talk to God, pray, and supplication. What does supplication mean? Supplication means, by definition, an asking or begging for something. That's all the scripture is saying. Don't be anxious, just ask and beg God. Ask and keep on asking. Doesn't that sound like the verse we read in Luke 9? Ask and you shall find. Ask it should be and it should be given to you. Seek, knock. It's a persistent. It's a fight. It's a wrestling. It's an expectant pleading with God for what you need, whether that be of the Holy Spirit or whether that be of something that you need from God. If you need help with something, say, Lord, I need help. I need this. And he'll help you. That's how God is. He's a loving Father. So, very simple. The way to access God's power, whatever you need, is to ask him. And there's more. Implicit in that asking is this, is that you must believe and have faith that God will do it. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you ask for something, ask knowing that God will do it. James 1 6, but let him ask concerning talking to God and asking for something, particularly wisdom, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. And for let not that man or woman think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, it doesn't matter. When you talk to God and you ask him for something, ask knowing that God will give you his desire. He will give you that thing according to his desire. His desire may be a no, and that is absolutely okay, because you want God's will. I can think, even personal, thinking about my marriage, there are issues and things in my marriage that God has done amazing work in, and there are other places that there needs to be tremendous work in, tremendous power, tremendous healing. If I was just to look at those things as a human being, I would say that's impossible. How could I ever grow in this? How could I ever become a better husband in this way? How could I ever learn to be sensitive or compassionate here, or to deal with this issue in my heart? But I don't have to sit and ask myself those questions when I have promises where Jesus says, just ask me. Just ask, believing that I'm going to do it. Ask, believing that my Father is going to do it. Just ask. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to figure it out. Just ask, believing that I'll do it. And there's even more to that. Not that I'm adding to it, but there's something even more in that asking. It's something that Jesus taught us that's implicit with asking. It's submission to Christ. And John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's verse 13 and 14 of John chapter 14. And he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's verse 15. So what you see is when we ask for something, we're not just asking, because the world will hear this and be like, "Oh, I got to ask God." No, ask understanding it's about a submission to Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lion of Judah. It's the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Bishop, the Overseer of our souls, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Yeshua, the Messiah. It's in His name. It's not in just some generic God. It's by submission to Him. He says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." This is not just, "God, I need help." And even God's so merciful that He'll even answer those prayers. He will answer those prayers. He answers prayers from the wicked. It says in Matthew 5, it says, "The Lord is kind to the just and the unjust. He's kind to the just and unjust. He's good to the thankful and the unthankful," right? So God will still answer those prayers. But understand that really in God's will, it's that we are asking in submission to Jesus Christ, believing that God will respond to it. In John 15, 16, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Again, it's asking the Father, knowing, expectantly, opening up your mouth and saying, "I have a need. I don't need to stress over this need. I don't need to be anxious over this need. I don't need to go and Google every single thing I can about this need and find a whole bunch of worldly responses that only discourage me. I don't need to go and fix all these. All I have to do is get on my knees and ask the Father, believing He will listen to me, and the name submitted to Yeshua, the Son of God, the Messiah, submitted to Him, and He will respond. Do you understand how precious that promise is? Really sit and think about what I just shared with you. This is more than just a message to just edify you. Yes, I want you to be edified, but I'm saying if we just believed this truth wholeheartedly, there is not one thing we can't do. There is not one issue, not one calamity, not one circumstance, not any setback that we cannot deal with, because God is bigger than everything. He's bigger than everything. I mean, really think about what God is saying. Jesus is saying, "Look, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Don't be anxious about it. Just ask me. Just ask my Father. Keep asking me. Know that I'm going to give you an answer. Know that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. We're going to bless you with an answer. Definitely. It's going to happen. Just wait for it and ask expectantly. And ask in submission to me." You know, we tack on in Jesus' name. We just kind of tack it on. And I do that, right? I'll tack it on in Jesus' name. But and that's bad to just do that and not really, you know, forget about, you know, really not understand what I'm saying in Jesus' name. What I'm saying, look, according to what Jesus wants and has for me. Because that's really the trophy. If I say, "Lord, I need this job. I need this job. Lord, please give me this job in Jesus' name. Please give me this job. I know you'll respond to me." When I say in Jesus' name, I'm saying, according to Jesus' will for me, please respond to this. What I'm saying is, "Lord, do you have this for me? If you have this for me, just open a door for me. Just open a door." Or if you don't have it for me, that's awesome too, because that's an answer. I only want what Christ has for me. I don't want anything else, because I know that that's the best thing for me. I mean, these are precious promises. "Lord, I have an issue with X, Y, and Z. I have a problem with gentleness. I have a problem with bitterness. I have a problem with self-control. I have a problem with loving. I can't fix that. I am a selfish person. Jesus, please." Now that's a prayer you know He'll answer, because He says He'll give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces those things. Galatians 5:22, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control. So if you need self-control, it's 100% the Lord will give you that. If you need joy, if you need love, if you need patience, if you need peace, 100%, you can bank on it. The Lord will give you that. All you need to do is ask in Jesus' name, believing and waiting and being expectant for the Lord to do that. But He will do that to you. He will give you the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, He will fill you up with Him and allow Him to produce that fruit in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and you confess your sin right now and you say, Lord, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I've been living my life according to my principles, my goals, what I derive from this movie and that movie and this idol and this role model and this mentor and this expectation and this coworker and this boss. I get my life's worldviews from everyone else and what I want, and I don't submit to Jesus Christ. I want to come under submission and authority of Christ. He died for me and rose again for me. He died for my sins. He took them and He destroyed them, and he's now given me 100% Jesus, holiness, and righteousness, and I get to live forever in heaven now. He saved me from living forever in hell, and now I live forever in heaven. I want to be saved. God will give you that. If you know, the first thing that God gives you in a relationship with Him is everlasting life. The very first thing that the Lord gives, when we talk about asking for things and how to access the power of God, the very first thing a person can get from God when you enter a relationship with Him is the ability to live forever and holiness and peace and righteousness and joy and fellowship and laughter, hallelujah, and worship and goodness. I mean, nothing, no pain, no suffering ever again. It's not a fantasy. It's not a pipe dream. It is true. In Revelation 21, Jesus tells John, write these things down because I am faithful and true, and I will do it, he says. He is going to do it. And you know what? He also said something many times before. He said, they're going to take me and drag me through the streets, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. And guess what? They took him and they killed him, and he rose again on the third day. So Jesus Christ means what He says. That's why the resurrection is so important. Because if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then He's a liar. And if He's a liar, then guess what? He's not taking me anywhere. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, right? He says, I go to prepare a place for you that I may come and take you again. I can bank on that because He rose again. And He told me He was going to rise again, and He rose again. So guess what? If He says there's many mansions and He's preparing a place for me, guess who's preparing a place for me? Guess where I'll be spending my eternity in the New Jerusalem and the city of God, in my place that Jesus Christ built with His own hands. If you want to access God's power and everything God has for you in your life, ask Him. Believe that He will do it, and submit to Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I pray that this will bless somebody, Lord, and that You'd encourage them, Jesus. I ask all these things in Your name. Amen.